One of the top priorities for Defense Secretary Ashton Carter is to transform the Defense Department into a better and cheaper version of itself. One proposal is to hand more responsibilities over to the private sector. Dan Gouray is vice president of the Lexington Institute, former director of the Office of Strategic Competitiveness at the Office of the Secretary of Defense. He says the private sector model is making a huge difference for the United Kingdom's Ministry of Defense. And Dan, I'm struck in this piece that we have a link to at federalnewsradio.com that you use the word transform and not reform. Is there significance to that, or am I just pulling at straws? Thanks for coming on today.
Oh, my pleasure, Francis. No, look, there is reform is trying to do the business of acquisition the old-fashioned way, just a little bit better, you know, a little bit faster, a few pieces of paper less, that kind of thing. The problem is we can no longer do it the old-fashioned way. We can't simply transform an acquisition process that is geared to a bygone era, an industrial age, an age of arsenals, an age when there was numbers of major competitors in each of the niches. We're going to have to figure out there's a lot of money to throw around. We got to figure out a different way of doing it, which means we got to transform the defense acquisition system, the government side, the same way that the private sector has been transformed for all the obvious economic reasons.
You write, in the post-Cold War era, of all the major Western military powers, the UK's led the way in transforming its system of acquiring and sustaining military capabilities. What are the steps that they've taken, and how would they parallel what the United States DOD could do?
Well, in a sense, the UK is a bit of a canary in the coal mine for where we have to go, or where we're going to be sent, if you will, as budgets continue to go down. The British feathers problem, where the question was no longer being able to choose between supporting the back or having to do both, the back office and the front office. They basically said, I got to have warfighters. I've got to have people who are combatants, and all the other functions, to the extent possible, and there's always a limit, have to be done by those who, A, are not in uniform or not in government service, are hired to do the job and can be let go when times are lean or you're not at war and you can hire more of them when you're at war, and who know how to do things like sustaining fleets of vehicles and ships, running supply chains much better than any government does.
You write, the solution depends on reworking DOD's relationships with private industry. The implication that I took away from that line, Dan, is that this is not just a straight-up outsourcing proposal because those relationships exist. I mean, we can argue about the health or relative health of those relationships, but they exist now, and that, in my view, doesn't seem like it requires a reworking. What are you getting at there?
Well, a number of things. I mean, what the British have done in a number of cases is they've gone into long-term relationships. For example, the one I mentioned, which is Boeing now is responsible for the total life cycle maintenance and availability and of the Chinook helicopters that the British own. Boeing made, British owned, and it's a 25-year contract, which is about two and a half times, maybe three times, the longest contract I'm aware of on the U.S. side. And it's got milestones in it, and it's got targets for savings and availability and all the right things you should have. It's sort of the way you'd run it in the private sector if you want to manage a fleet of aircraft, you know, for the commercial airlines, or a fleet of vehicles for a taxi cab, you know, organization, or, you know, that kind of thing. It makes much more sense. The other thing they've done, they just did it, is they just hired Leidos, the split apart part of SAIC, on a 13-year contract to sort of handle the purchasing, the distribution, the sale, the warehousing of all kind of non-military essentials, the kind of what we do now with PXs. And they've essentially said, you take this over. You got a long-term contract. You simply have to make sure you give us a good deal and that costs essentially go down over time. That's a different relationship. That's basically saying, we'll do oversight, but you do the job. And that's not the same thing as we have in the U.S.
Do we know if a deal like the Boeing deal on the Chinooks has an out clause for cause, that if they don't like the performance and they can demonstrate that the performance is not up to snuff, they can move along?
Absolutely. They have two things, right? I mean, there's a cost to Boeing if it doesn't meet the targets, and that's on Boeing's head, if you will. And if they do and they save money, and they have, they've actually got documented savings over what was going on before this contract came into place, and targets. They and the government of the UK agreed, or the MOD, agreed on, you know, targets for savings, and that's shared. That's the other piece. rather than it being a case, everybody's got a skin in this game. That's another huge distinction, is you got skin in the game so that if the company saves money, it gets to keep some of that, and the government gets to keep some of it. So essentially, both make out.
You're right. The difference between the MODs, that's the UK, and DOD's approaches to reforming their sustainment systems and supply chain management practices is that the former, the British, willing to trust the private sector, establish long-term relationships, and privatize activities and functions once the exclusive preserve of government entities and military organizations. I imagine the foes of this are going to say this is straight up outsourcing, and that's what I imagine is inherent in the distrust or dislike of some folks for this proposal.
Well, here's the irony of that, right? I mean, we are totally dependent upon the private sector, whether it's the big OEMs, the equipment manufacturers, medium-sized, smaller-sized companies and supply chains. The government is totally dependent. It isn't like the government makes an F-22 or an Arleigh Burke destroyer or a jet engine. It can do some maintenance on them and support, but it can't really make any stuff. And most of the support, even, and most of the maintenance, and most of the transportation is in the private sector. So in a sense, what we're talking about here is rather than fighting the tide, go with it. You know, swim with the tide, manage how your these companies operate, and if they don't meet the standard, yeah, you replace them. We all do that, even in our, you know, private lives. But don't sort of make this kind of a them versus us, which is, I think, what has happened in defense acquisition all too often.
Are there nuts and bolts things that we should watch that the UK did, maybe missteps that they made that we could learn from?
Well, they've had some. For example, they were trying to really privatize the overall kind of management of acquisition. They were trying to sort of say, look, I want a strategist almost to kind of do this as a high-level thing. They couldn't find anybody to do that. That's a function, for example, which is inherently governmental. But when you're talking about things that are classic in the business world, supply chain management, warehousing, repair and overhaul, all that, there is no reason for the private sector to do it. I mean, the major companies, whether they're dealing with the government or not, you know, pick any of them, are all doing this. The airlines, most of them outsource the support and sustainment of their own aircraft to various players because they know that those guys who focus on that can do it better than an airline that's trying to put rear ends in seats. Same thing. The government should focus on what it does best and what it has to do and not do anything else. It'll still cost money, but a lot less.
Your argument strikes me, Dan, as very persuasive from a return on investment perspective. Obviously, we know that the 535 people that oversee decisions at the Department of Defense don't always make decisions based solely on return on investment.
Sure.
Is there a demonstration here that would help sell this from a readiness or from a perspective of some of the other issues that Congress is always worried about the Defense Department?
Absolutely. You can look at all the relationships, the partnerships, public-private partnerships that have been done between industry and our depots and ALCs, the Air Logistics Centers. These are the organic base that does sustainment overhaul. When you bring in the private sector to manage supply chains, to orchestrate overhaul and all the rest, both sides benefit, and the warfighter also benefits. So in a sense, what we're talking about is you want to essentially do more to encourage, among other things, the organic base to take on the attributes of the private sector, and the private sector to take on more responsibilities that are now in the hands of government logisticians, government entities, contracting officers, and all the rest, where it isn't needed.